chorus that we just sang. It says, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. This morning, as we come to the communion table, our focus is the mercy of God and what he has done for us. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. We studied the book of Jonah just under 4 years ago. And I just want to return and look briefly at three verses in the book of Jonah. You'll remember that Jonah, the prophet, disobeyed God, and instead of going to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction. And when he went the opposite direction, he went towards Tarshish. And at Tarshish, on his way to Tarshish, God threw him into the sea. And in the sea, a great fish swallowed him up, and the Lord spared his life through this great fish. And after 3 days, when Jonah repented, this great fish spit him back onto the shore, and he went then to Nineveh. When he gets to Nineveh, he preaches a very simple message, and the entire city repents. Some 600,000 people repent on that day. And there is, you would might think that Jonah is rejoicing. But he doesn't rejoice. He doesn't rejoice. Instead, he is very angry. Look with me at Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that this is your character. That you are a gracious and merciful God. That you are slow to anger. That you abound in steadfast love. And you relent from disaster. We depend upon this every moment of every day of our lives. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who willingly went to the cross to drink the cup of the wrath of God for us. We pray now that you would be with us, help us to understand these things from your word, and that it might cause us to love you even more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jonah is angry, which seems very odd to us. You don't often go to a big crusade, maybe a back in the day a Billy Graham crusade or a Franklin Graham crusade, and hundreds of people come to accept Christ, and Franklin Graham stomps off the stage. I can't believe it. What are you people all repenting for? No, but that was Jonah's reaction. That was Jonah's reaction. Why? What was it because of anything that he didn't understand? Was it like Job? Remember Job? all the suffering that he went through, right? He lost his children. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his health. And there were questions. There was some distress in his heart and in his mind regarding who God is. But that's not the case here with Jonah. Jonah knows exactly who God is, and that is what makes him angry. I want you to see what this is. He says, "For I knew," in chapter 4, verse 2, "for I knew." What did he know? Well, he knew from Scripture. He's a prophet, remember. He knows from the Scriptures that God is gracious. He knew from his own life experience that God is gracious. He had just run from God. He had just gone the other direction, and God spared his life, and God gave him a second chance. He knew about who God was, that he is gracious. That is, he is giving those that deserve wrath, he is giving kindness and love and forgiveness. He knows that God is merciful, that God is not giving them what they deserve. He is not pouring out his wrath and judgment upon them. That God is slow to anger. This is slow to anger to God's enemies. Slow to anger to Jonah and Israel's enemies. The Assyrians, they were a wicked people. And God was slow to anger. And abounding in steadfast love. This is a love that is not based upon what any individual did or didn't do, but based upon the character of God. And finally, relenting from disaster. Jonah is angry that God has not destroyed this city under his wrath. Well, let's focus for just a minute on this one aspect of God's mercy, that is being slow to anger. Being slow to anger. One of the word pictures that we find in Scripture is that of the filling of a cup. Now, there's a couple different ways that you can fill a cup. One is how your four-year-old fills a cup when he grabs the milk pitcher off the table and decides to pour his own glass of milk, and you know how that goes. The other is how we try to carefully pour a glass of milk or anything we're going to drink, just slowly filling it up so it doesn't splash all over, so it doesn't spill all over the place, but slowly filling it up. That's the picture in Scripture of God's patience with mankind, that he is slow to anger, that that cup is slowly being filled. I want to show you this in Jeremiah chapter 25. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25. We see here the cup of the Lord's wrath, but that it is slowly being filled. Look at verse 15 with me. "Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, 'Take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. They shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I am sending among them.' So I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and officials, to make them a desolation and a waste, a hissing and a curse, as at this day." And then we'll skip down to verse 27, because he lists all the countries there. But verse 27, "Then you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk and vomit, fall and rise no more, because of the sword that I am sending among you. And if they refuse to accept the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you must drink. Do you see this cup that symbolizes the patience of the Lord? Think of the longevity of nations. Even if it's a fairly short time period, like our nation, 250 years or so, there is patience that God has shown to one nation after another, after another. This whole list that I didn't read for you, but you can read on your own, is one nation after another that God has been patient with. But what's happening? It is filling up that cup until his patience is done, and then it becomes a cup of wrath. And he pours his wrath out on those nations. Jonah is not happy. Jonah is angry with God because God is slow to anger in destroying the Ninevites. God, why are you slow to anger? We begin to see as we work through Scripture how God is slow to anger in regards to each one of us. Where do we see this picture of the cup in the New Testament? Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now as they were eating, this is verse 26, Matthew 26, 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Here we have the cup once again. And we have Jesus taking the cup, symbolizing his own death. As they leave the Garden of Gethsemane, then Judas comes with the soldiers, and they're about to arrest Jesus. And Peter takes out his sword, and he's trying to kill one of the soldiers, and he misses, and he cuts one of the ears off. And Jesus heals that soldier, and he tells Peter to put his sword away. He says, shall I not drink of the cup that the Father has given me to drink? He's determined to go to the cross, to drink of that cup. But here's the question. Is it his own cup? No. It's our cup that he is drinking. I want to show you this in the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 1. This is our cup of wrath. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. This is our sin. This is our cup. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. This is our cup of wrath. This is our sin. We know Romans 3 very well. Romans 3:12, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is every one of us. Every one of us have turned aside. We have turned away. So we are in a terrible position. These are scary judgments. The wrath of God is nothing to be laughed at. We are all laid bare, like Adam and Eve, before God, without any clothing. There we are, naked in our sin. And if we try to fool ourselves, thinking, I'm not so bad, just like Adam and Eve trying to cover themselves with fig leaves, who are we trying to kid? We can't cover it up. Oh, I'm a little bit better than him. I'm a little bit better than her. No, you are laid bare before the holy God of the universe. And our sins are exposed. And we are under the wrath of God. And it's a terrible position. If it weren't for Christ. But Christ is the one who has drank that cup for us. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Do you see? He took the punishment that we deserve. He took the punishment that we deserve. You see, there's a very thin line between injustice and mercy. Injustice is letting a convicted criminal go free. Mercy is letting the convicted criminal go free after the price, the payment of his crime has been taken care of. We are under mercy. The mercy of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, I meant 2 Corinthians 5. I'll start up in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to our God, to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve. He drank the cup of the wrath of God for you and for me. And the beautiful news is that if we repent like the Ninevites, God will show us compassion. God will show us compassion through his Son, Jesus Christ. But we're back to Jonah, and Jonah is angry. And so he goes out in the wilderness, and he's going to sit on this hillside to watch the destruction of Nineveh. Because the message was 4 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. So he says, okay, I'm gonna sit up here. Even though they repented, it probably was a false repentance. So I'm going to sit up here on the hillside and watch to see if it was actually a true repentance, because I want to see them destroyed. And while he's out there, it's hot. God allows this plant to grow up big enough to give him shade. And he just loves that plant. He's sitting there enjoying his shade. And then God appoints a worm to eat that plant. And now he doesn't have shade. And he's angry. And look at the very end of Jonah 4, if you're back there. Jonah 4, verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Do you see this lesson that God is teaching Jonah? Jonah, you care, you pity, you have mercy, you have compassion on this plant that you had nothing to do with, that I'm the one that made the plant grow. And you have compassion, you have pity, you're angry because that plant has now died. Should not I have pity on the ones that I have created, both man and animal? What a lesson about the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Oh, how quick we are to say, that person does not deserve mercy, but I deserve mercy. Now, a few weeks ago, in our children's message, Frank asked the question. He said, "Now, do you guys share your toys?" And so many of the kids said, yeah, we share our toys. And then he asked the follow-up question, "Do your brothers and sisters share their toys?" "No, they don't share their toys, no." Oh, how like us, if it starts at that age, how much more sophisticated do we become in thinking better of ourselves and worse of others? That's exactly what Jonah was doing. He had no mercy and compassion on others, but he expected it for himself. Oh, may we recognize that every single one of us deserves the wrath of God, but he is merciful to us. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." May we have the heart of God and show mercy to others. Let's pray as we come to the table. Oh, Father, you are merciful to us. You are slow to anger. Oh, how dependent we are upon that every single day. Help us to have a right perspective on our lives, on who we are, that each one of us are rebels against you. Each one of us are shaking our fist at you until you make us a new creation. Until you give us a heart of repentance like you gave to the Ninevites. And then in your mercy, in your grace, in being slow to anger, in your steadfast love, you relent of the disaster against us. Oh, how we glory in the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for drinking the cup of the wrath of God for us. We give you praise as we come to your table now. In Jesus' name.